Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Latina Lifestyle Legacy podcast with Reina and
Ashley.
Yes. And we are here with a very special guest, Abigail Rodriguez, who is going to be sharing a lot about her business. And she actually has two delicious cafes, restaurants that are very local to Ashley and I. So this is such an honor to be interviewing someone that is doing the damn thing, you know, so, and a woman and, you yes. know, just a Latina. And this is really, really powerful. So really happy that you're here.
Thanks, guys. Well, thank you for having me. I definitely get a little bit nervous. I'm not a nervous person. Uh-huh. I get a little bit introverted, which I'm definitely not an introverted person when it comes to like interviews or questions, especially because like I stay behind the scenes of all of my businesses. Yeah. So I know that when I met Ashley, I was just kind of like in a place where she's kind of always trying to catch me, right? And that's like the story of my life. Like, okay, here's Abby. Where's Abby? All my restaurants is kind of like, okay, do I get to catch Abby? So interviews are always fun. I think I tend to kind of like shy away from them, but they're always exciting. I think it's important what you girls are doing because I've been in all kinds of businesses. I've done it all. I've done probably about 6 to 7 different businesses. Mm. So when you look up my name and like the board of taxes and fees, they're always like, how many businesses, which one are you? So I've done like a wide spectrum of businesses. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of like nice to kind of sit down and talk and kind of ask myself, like get a moment to myself and really reevaluate like the questions that you guys sent and reevaluate like why I'm in business, what I do it for, how I started. Because I tend to forget, because you tend to get caught up in the lifestyle, the responsibility. Even launching this app was kind of like, gosh, I haven't even used Zoom. And Zoom is like the modern like technology era, right? Because the pandemic and everything. And I've been so out of the world because I've been a business owner that I don't even know like what's going on with technology. So
yeah. And it's good though to also give yourself that credit for like all the knowledge you have gained with having run all those businesses, you know, and like giving yourself that credit, like I've done the damn thing, like Reina said, you know, like you're taking action and you're still pushing even through the pandemic, which that alone like was, I mean, how was that like for you business-wise, like during the pandemic?
You know, the pandemic was a very, very important year for me. I started when I was 21. I opened my first restaurant, which is a Cuban restaurant. And that was kind of like, it paved the way for, it was very successful, opened doors for other venues. But in the year 2019, I got pregnant. So the pandemic, a year later, I was able to kind of get away from my businesses and kind of focus on being a woman and being a mother. Because my doctor was basically telling me like, hey, like you're not going to have a healthy pregnancy if you continue to do what you do. And that's like, go press forward, hustle, grind, right? Cause that's like our MO for Latinas. Like, mm-hmm. okay, it's your hustle. You keep pushing, you keep going. So it was nice. Cause my daughter was about 9 months when the pandemic started. And I had just, gotten one of my first, like, investment properties. So I stayed there for like the first 2 months alone. And I've been a single mother since day one. Since my pregnancy, I was kind of like, I'm going to do this by myself. I'm doing this alone. So the pandemic forced me to stop, right? It forced me to evaluate, like, mm-hmm. what is it that you want to do? During that pandemic, I opened literally 3 different businesses. I opened a body sculpting business. I opened a bridal floral shop business. And then I opened a hot dog cart, which was right in front of my house. So I was legit slinging hot dogs in a little food cart. And then just in that year, I upgraded my food trucks because my business started growing. So even though I was forced to stop and be a mom, I still kept pushing forward. I started building friendships with my girlfriends from high school because I was available, you know?
Yeah.
So, but the pandemic made me, like many people, question like our identity, right? As women, like it made us, the pandemic in a lot of ways, I felt like insecure in a lot of ways about where I'm going, what's my future looking like, if this is going to continue, is my business going to flourish? So I was forced to be like, okay, well, no, like I'm going to continue to push forward and find my passion. And I did. And I continued to cook, which I love to do. And it was a great year. I think stopping was something that I really needed. Like most of us in this world, we just needed to stop and reevaluate family, friends, loved ones, your income, your finances for mm-hmm. sure. And, I mean, I saved the most money that I've ever saved. Why? Because I'm a, you know, I didn't have a business to spend on. I didn't have projects and creativity and building. So, and I was making income, you know, so it was a good time for me.
Wow. You're very creative. You didn't just start one, you started three businesses. So
yes,
that's incredible.
And that's an awesome idea of having that, the like hot dog stand right outside your house, because you don't have to go anywhere. Like it's
no like, it was yeah. convenient. Well, it had started because Mother's Day, I don't know if you girls remember, but remember like that time all the stores were closed, right? Mm-hmm. It was that Mother's Day, remember? I don't know if you guys remember watching the news, but the florals. Okay, so what I did was I started to create floral baskets, and I was like, I'm gonna sell flowers for Mother's Day. There's nothing open. So I went in the downtown district and I started to make flowers, which I actually even did. Like you'll see, like I'm a big.
Yeah, they're so nice.
I did it for yesterday. We had a day off and I did florals and plants. So I started getting them. And on Thursday I went and I bought dozens of flowers. Right. So at that point there were $12 a dozen. Keep in mind by Sunday, the roses were going for $80 to $100 a dozen. Oh, so that was the demand that I got to experience during a pandemic, because that was the only district that was officially like yes. allowed to be open. So then that business flourished and I did it for that. And then everybody started coming, right? And like, hey, are you going to sell hot dogs out of your cart? And I was kind of like, you know what? It does kind of look like a hot dog cart. I'm going to sell hot dogs. So that's what people started asking for. And so, yeah, it was definitely, I did it for 3-4 months and, I ruined my kitchen. Cause I literally had like three ladies back there, like chopping up onions. It wasn't your just little hot dog cart. It was a whole business going on, because I was selling about almost to 100 to 150 hot dogs within 3 hours.
Oh my God. Ya se me están antojando.
I know.
Right now.
Yeah. And they were great. They are great. The Baldwin Park location still has them. And because that was kind of like what opened the doors, that little business. And I tell women, I encourage women. I had a lot of women, because I started buying hot dog carts and refurbishing them and selling them on OfferUp. Remember pandemic, everything was selling on OfferUp. Like everybody was just buying on
yeah, online. Everyone's just like platform. Bored or renovating like their home, or I don't know.
Like everybody was on this whole like Pinterest, whole creative mode. So yeah, I was doing that. And I remember women coming and looking at the hot dog carts and being like, with their husbands, like, oh, I don't know. Like, I don't think I could do this. And I remember showing them and telling them like, hey, like you see all of this that I have, like my home, you know, all of my cars, like this little hot dog is what I have, two restaurants. This little hot dog cart is maintaining all of that. And they were kind of like, but as women, we feel like that, we all feel, I even myself feel that like insecureness of like, can I do this? Can I accomplish this? Am I going to be successful? We feel more, you know, I'm at an advantage because failure and like fear isn't in my vocabulary. It's not something that I ever encounter at all. Like I have, to me, I find that like as a challenge, like, you know what? It is going to be successful. It is going to flourish, and consistency. So it was interesting to like see how other women operate. Again, I started a body sculpting business, right? With my girlfriends. They were like, hey, you should invest in this. And I did it. And I went all out, right? I got the boutique, I got the construction, I got all of the stuff. then working alongside girls that were small-minded, really was interesting for me, because I was just kind of like, you know, present a business plan for me, present all these things to me. So I was trying to encourage them to kind of see where their thought process to think bigger, right? I was trying to encourage them to, I was showing them other successful concepts of like, hey, how can we adapt that? I was showing them my marketing, my photos, all of that. So, and I was really kind of like, the pandemic really, really showed like, you know what, Abby, like, you're definitely on a different level. You're definitely on a different scale than most women out there, which I tried my best to like be there and invest and encourage. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I was reading your guys's, like, you know, your guys's information and your behind and your bio. And I think what you're doing is so important. And it's so important because we as Latina women, our background, our moms, like my mom's was a stay-at-home mom, right? Her obsession was cleaning, like, and cooking. That was like her role. Mm-hmm. And that's what she was going to do. And that's what she's done. And I made it a point at like a very young age that that wasn't going to be my life. Like, I wasn't going to want that for myself. So it's hard because as Latina women, we don't really get that role model. Mm-hmm. So we don't know how to guide ourselves, and we don't know how to like
relearn and teach ourselves and just kind of change.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So powerful.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any siblings? Like, are
you
the only child, or where do you like sit in
No,
that?
There's five of us. There's five of us. So I'll send you guys a picture of my family. I can't, there's five of us. I'm the second oldest.
Okay.
We're obviously Latinos. My dad's Mexican. My mom's from Brazil. And all of my family has been in the restaurant industry, is now in the restaurant industry, because I've kind of paved that way. So they've definitely support me, and they're
They work with you
part time. Yeah, definitely. Okay. They're coming back full time. They come in. Working with family is hard. So you kind of get these episodes of like, you're with them and then you're without them. Then you get some time to like step away and reevaluate your relationship. And then you realize like, okay, I need my family. So that's kind of like the story of our lives in my business, which again, wow. Anyone who knows my restaurant would all be like, oh, your sisters are back. Hey, that's good. You guys, you know, they're here to help and save the day. So it's kind of that kind of business.
Yeah. Are you guys all sisters?
I have two sisters and two brothers.
Oh, okay.
I'm the second oldest. We're older. The youngest is going to be 24. So oldest is going to be 34, 35.
Also, there's like a 10-year.
Yeah. Between you guys. I know. Yeah.
I know.
But we're all very close in age, and we're all very close. And my dad's, and my parents are also involved. My dad's involved full time. My mom helps me, of course, now with my daughter and with all like my side things, but we're all connected in the business.
Yeah. I love that. And what would you say is right now your like favorite dish on your menu?
Oh gosh.
I know that's
I think because my menu is so versatile, I think I have seasons of stuff that I really like. Mm-hmm. Like right now I love the Mediterranean kebab, mm-hmm. the chicken, the steak, the hummus. The rice. I'm like obsessed with that. I'm exploring like my Mediterranean recipes. I just did like a new cucumber yogurt that I wanted to add because I feel like it needed something of a freshness. So I think that the cookie butter French toast is like my obsession. Like I love the cookie butter French toast.
That's really good. I have had that Mediterranean plate, and every time I go, I order that because it's so good. It always
good. Okay, good. So we're along the same lines. Yeah. But I love like you can't go wrong with your like classic made from scratch chilaquiles. So that's kind of like where I'm at right now.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So yum.
So we want you to share a little bit about like your business and where your passion from cooking started and kind of like where your business mindset came from.
I started as a waitress, which I'm always forever a waitress or a server or a host. I started that one at a really young age. And I just really feel like my calling is serving people and serving customers, and I love food, right? Like I'm such a foodie. So when I was like my first, I would at a young age at 19, 15, I started waitressing, and kind of every year I find myself in a transition. So every year I would escalate and get into another industry, same industry, but like more of a, like, you know, I would level up, right? I started mom and pop, and then I went to a same mom and pop, but I started for like a larger name, like the family of El Cholos and the Canneries. And I started into fine dining. And then I went into family owned concept of like the Sunset Tower Hotel in West Hollywood. So along those years of me continuously growing, it would take about a year to 2 years to kind of get the position of management. And that was always kind of like my time where I would be like, hey, actually, like, I'm actually, now that you're trying to promote me, it's my time to go. So it was kind of like, I didn't ever want to feel responsible for somebody else's business, because I saw how cutthroat my industry was, right? You get responsible, you do their job, you do all this. The next thing you know, they're like, well, you were responsible. You failed, because we're human. You're going to get fired. So my thing was, what saved me was always not kind of accepting that responsibility, but I naturally felt responsible for the workplaces that I was at. Right. So I would flourish and thrive. So through the years, I would continuously grow in my experience and my level of service and my passion for food until I transitioned at like 19, I went in Burbank and I opened a little mom and pop, like smoothie place in a gym. That was like my first food restaurant experience. And then luckily I got to meet a lot of like celebrity trainers, and I got to meet a lot of like Big Boy from Power 106. I became really good friends with him, and he kind of started, you know, I was young and I was kind of like this cute, young, like smoothie girl business, and like, you know, going to like getting like going in Burbank in the music industry and the acting industry. So it was fun, but it was kind of like, I wasn't about that life. Right. I was just kind of like, it's not my lifestyle. I want something bigger. I want to be something. I love food. I started to incorporate food in my little concept. So I started to find passion, like a passion for food. And like everybody loves, I've done all businesses and I'm stuck at food, because people will always eat and they'll always spend money on food. So yep. I was forced to learn how to cook, because I then at 19, I bought my first restaurant, which is called Medianoche. And I started by myself, right? I had brought in a chef to come with me. And I remember the first week of us opening it, he didn't show up. So I was kind of like, oh my gosh, I need to launch this restaurant. I'm money deep, right? I am open, the doors are open. So I remember just started cooking through visual, like of all the experiences that I had before. So then that was kind of, I didn't love food because it wasn't something that like I thought I was going to be in. But as a business owner, it was my responsibility. Like yeah. I had to be the dishwasher, the waitress, the cook. So then that kind of sparked an interest in food, and which I'm forever grateful, because I always tell people who want to get into the business and in the industry as owners, if you don't control your food and if you don't know what to do in the kitchen, you're going to have somebody always kind of at your expense, right? They're always going to be like, well, I want more money. Well, I'm not happy here. Well, you can't. And what are you going to do? A lot of business owners, I don't know if you guys ever watched like Kitchen Nightmares or Gordon Ramsay or all these like failing businesses. But their main problem is always like the owners don't know how to execute the kitchen, or they're kind of like, well, my food is great. But they're, you know, but then he comes in and shows them like, no, your food isn't great. Like, so that's kind of like the advantage. And I've just progressively, again, the pandemic was a big factor. I wanted to learn more food, more versatile, but I love my passion for food has definitely been through, it's taken time. It's really have taken time for me to perfect my recipes and continuously learn. And there's always more ingredients, right? There's always like more things you could incorporate. So so it's taken time for me to passion, but I'm now in a place where I like want to travel to learn to like French cuisine. I want to learn like authentic Mexican cuisine. So again, a lot of girls are like, oh, I want to travel and I want to have fun. And
girl, we have a trip for you.
We have the perfect opportunity for you.
Yeah. So that's funny that you mentioned that, because I partnered with a travel agency. ITA Global, and I went to Colombia with them. And so I like love the way that they like planned their trip. And I wanted to go to Oaxaca, Mexico. So we're going to go in October. And we're actually going to take a cooking class.
Okay. Exciting.
So I'm gonna, like, I'll share more details with you if you're like
if you want to go.
Yeah, but I was looking at that and it sparked an interest. So definitely.
I know, because Oaxaca is like really well.
Major food culture. Mm. Like they're kind of like what the French is to cooking. Oaxaca,
yeah.
Tradition. It is like the fundamental ingredient. Like, so I would love to definitely, like, that's something that I would love to do, is go to a place, mm-hmm. like that and really understand and see really like what, like a market, like I would thrive in their market. I would love to be in there and kind of like take in the culture, the food. And another thing, like people, like food is family for me. Food mm-hmm. is community. Food is fellowship. So I mean, yesterday was Easter and I threw this huge like event at my house, and we had Cuban food, we had Salvadorian food, we had Mexican food, we had Italian. I made empanadas. We had like Argentinian chimichurri. We had like steaks.
Oh my god!
Yeah. So we had. I mean, it's like everyone knows, like, okay, Abby's place is gonna have amazing food, and it's always nice to kind of get like, hey, Abby, like, wow, this tastes a lot better than last time. And that's why I love mm-hmm. to cook. It was a day off for me, but I didn't take the day off. Like, my house is a mess. My kitchen is a mess. But food is, like, really, really important to me and my family and all my friends, all my best friends, my community have been people from my restaurants now. They've been my number one supporters, my team, my employees, their families were here. That's like my family now. Is really, I do what I do and I work so hard for is really for like my team and the responsibility of always like giving them and making sure they make their money and making sure they're happy in life. And that really is a driving force for me.
Yeah. And what was the moment you knew that you needed to create this space to socialize and, you know, for the community to come together?
You know, it's funny because today was a really hard day for me, like emotionally. Mm. And my partner tells me, he goes, Abby, he's like, you don't always have to create these kind of environments and you don't always have to do the most and you don't always have to give those levels of food or expectations for people, because people are eating at places and they're not getting nearly nothing remote to what you give them, right? I don't know if you've seen my Baldwin Park location, but no one would ever thought of doing the business concept that I did there.
Yeah.
And no one would think about transforming a space like that. Even my Covina location, we're talking about like holes in the walls. And I was really kind of like, I felt like that community needed something like Sage.
Oh, yeah.
I felt like we need to bring the standards that are like in Beverly Hills and like Pasadena to these areas and really like provide that experience. And it doesn't take a lot. Like, I can't stress, like, I've been on OfferUp, I was buying my tables, I was buying my umbrellas, I was buying tile, like I was doing it all at a DIY process for that restaurant. And me and my partner, he did the patio overnight. He just gutted the floor, put pavers, put rocks and tables, we put some patio lights. So like to me, like when you sit down and eat, it's such a sacred thing for me that I really feel like people are always critics, right? Like, especially because you're paying for something, you want something that's good and you want your environment to be positive. And I'm big about vibes. I'm big about your environment. So I've always been that person to transform and be creative. I love to, my biggest thing is like, I love to just constantly change and remodel. I'm a big, like people say, Abby doesn't clean, she remodels. And that's really like what I've done. I think in the past like 10 years, I probably spent over $1 million in Home Depot. So you could just imagine the spectrums of projects that I have had. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's important for people to socialize and sit down and have a meal. And of course, like the food is just the cherry on top, but really who you come and sit down with and who you share your time with, and it's important, all factors are presented in that, especially now. And now in these crazy times during the pandemic, people try to strip that away from us. They try to strip away socializing, they try to strip away community, they try to, you know, a lot of people found themselves in really dark places because you couldn't go out to eat anymore.
Yeah.
So I really was like, I really was a firm believer. I fought with the health department. I fought with the city. I had a lawsuit in my Covina location. They made me take my patio system down. So I've encountered so many challenges, but I've stayed strong to my concept of like, you're not going to tell me how to run my business. You're not going to tell me how to be creative. You're not going to limit me. And everyone, I mean, even the IRS has dealt with me. They've told me, but I'm like, I'm my own business owner. So I always tell everybody, people are always kind of challenged by the red tape. Oh, business license, building, safety, taxes, all of this stuff. Right. And I always tell everybody like, dude, just open the doors. I'm notorious for opening businesses without even having like the health department license first. But I strongly feel like I'm very a big believer of what I'm doing. And I feel like I really need to bring this to different communities that are presented. And yeah, I don't have big franchise groups. I don't have big investors in anything that I've done, but I have this, I don't know if you guys, I'm sure you guys watch Netflix, but I just watched this documentary and I love watching documentaries because I love hearing what other people write, like what challenges they present, what's going on with them. But I don't know if you guys saw that new series. It's called Bad Vegan.
No.
Oh, I started watching it. Yeah.
Okay. So you like, that's a really, I think as you, what you girls do, I want you guys like to watch that. And I've been telling a lot of people like watch, because a lot of women come up to me and they're like, man, Abby, how do you do it? I want to do what you do. I tell my husband that I want a little coffee shop, right? And I tell him, watch Bad Vegan. So the story behind this girl is like, she was a passionate chef, and she basically allowed the wrong people in her life to influence her and take her away from her vision, her passion, right? Which was vegan. And then, I mean, she was in a thriving, this girl had like the spotlight. She was in the magazine. She was doing it all right. Like she was that Pinterest model of business owner women, but literally in the backdrop, she was dealing with major debt, right? Mm-hmm. Her business looked profitable, but it wasn't profitable. So I think that's very relative to common business era now, right? Because everything's like a face. Everything's like, okay, what face, what persona you're going to present. Mm-hmm. You could say you have a thriving business or a thriving concept, but literally you're tanking, you're failing. So I always encourage, and I always tell like the city, the business planning, the community, even the Chamber of Commerce, I've told them, hey, I am a young Latina woman. I've had no credit cards. I've had no debt. And you're like, you either you support me or you give me fines and you ticket me, but I'm going to continue my business. And that moves people. Like that really will help. It really, really bring people to kind of really like understand that, wow, she's a force to be reckoned with. She don't care if you put a close. I've had plenty of closed notices on my doors and I still operate because, you know, it's life. Like I have responsibilities. I have employees to pay. I have my family, my home. So yeah, I don't know. I think I went
kind I love of that you
off,
face,
off tangent.
I like that you face it head on though. Like you don't run from it. You're like, no, we're going to battle this and we're going
to kind of have rebel in this, in what you do. It's kind of how you mentioned, like you wanted to bring Sage into Baldwin Park. And I always think about it too, because I'm like, damn, like everybody with like, I lived in El Monte and then I moved to Baldwin Park in high school. And like, I'm like, every time we want to go somewhere, it's like we leave Baldwin Park. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's not like let's go in to a place and eat at Baldwin Park. Like what? Right. And it's true, because we deserve that. We deserve a beautiful cafe, a safe space.
Yeah.
And it's like nobody comes to Baldwin Park besides In-N-Out but now Sage as well. Yeah. So it's like, it's true. Like you're in that, it needs a lot of love. And I think also just like with the new, there's a lot of changes like that I see happening with the mayor and just like building community. But I love that you challenged and like, you don't care, because there's a lot of people who are afraid and they're very rule followers. And I'm like, just do it. Like, yeah, you'll figure it out. You know, yeah, what I mean?
Exactly.
And especially I think in your industry, like, you kind of have to have that mentality, or else, yeah, it is, it's going to close and they're going to close it down. And, but you got to fight for your business. So that's incredible.
Thank you.
Yeah. And the environment that you've created is so good, because when you walk in that space, it's like, you feel like you're in a different place.
Yeah.
Like, it just takes you away. And I remember, like, I remember still the first time I walked in and I was like, oh my God, even you, like, you're just so welcoming. Yeah. And so it's like, you want to be in that space, you know, like,
it just, no, we had a whole photo shoot in there.
Yeah. Yeah. You can know, literally. Yeah.
It's so pretty. Really,
it's my safe place too. Mm. It's not just for my customers, but I go there every day. So it's important. And I tell everybody, you have to really know your environment and create that space for yourself. And that was kind of like a small little project that I know would turn big, and I'm trying not for it to get so big and so out of my control, 'cause I'm still a control freak. Right. But as moving forward as like a business owner, like, I want to keep it like that. I want a small little cafe concept, yeah, that I can still be in touch with my customers and my guests and my food. So I'm not, and again, I can think like that, and I can limit myself because I don't have investors. I don't have people that I have to answer to. I don't have a major, you know, credit line. I've allowed myself to live within my means, to flourish and have the freedom that I want for my life.
What was there a certain thing that made you pick, like, I know you said you were from Orange County. So like, what drew you to that Covina location? Was like
on Craigslist, really?
Oh,
okay. back then, Craigslist was like selling the restaurant for like $20,000. And I was like, oh my God, who sells a restaurant for $20,000? And now I got immediately like why it was worth $20,000. Nothing worked in there.
Oh my
Nothing. God. The refrigeration, the stoves, everything was a complete mess. Hold on. My daughter just went to the restroom. Let me. Sorry.
Okay. Perfect.
She's potty training right now.
Oh, that's good. How old is she?
She's going to be 3 in May.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. She's motherhood's a whole different topic. I can't wait till you girls reach your motherhood age and you guys are gonna be like, it's gonna change your life.
Really. No, I'm that's like, it's crazy because I like to listen to like mom entrepreneur podcasts. It's like, why am I naturally like drawn to this? And I'm over here like learning how they talk about the how they're potty training and and I'm like all like into it. I'm like, oh, okay, well,
like now I know.
Prepare. It's because I'm like that, like I want to be that ready. I'm like, first let me get a man, and then I'm kind of skipping a step.
You're like, wait.
it's definitely, I mean, I have a community group and we have our Bible study, which is honestly it's like a support group.
Yeah.
For moms. And I mean, a few of us are moms and we're like, and then some women haven't had their kids yet. And I really like, it's funny because I do listen to podcasts too when I get a chance of moms. And it's just the whole, like,
you need it. I mean, mothers need it, the support group.
We do. We really need to like come together and like support one another. So it's important that you prepare yourself for that place. But you mentioned something about like finding a man, and I think my purpose of why God brought me to this certain support group was really to kind of encourage them. Right. Cause I have my fiance who we literally like had like the fastest process of everything. We met, we dated, he proposed. And now we're like getting married all within 6 months.
Oh right? My God.
Yeah. So wow. it's a lot of shifting in my life right now, but I always tell women, I always want to encourage them because like, I am so grateful that I met that person for me. And despite where we think like we're at, right? Like I thought I was a single mother and I thought I kind of deserved, I was dating men that kind of had kids already. And even me, like it's hard because you get into a place where you're dating late nights, right? Because everything's like a late night thing. And I found my life kind of challenging because like I would get off work late. I had always my career. And then like my little windows of time were late nights, which opens like a darkness in my dating world. And then they had their kids. And I kind of thought like, well, this is kind of the group. This is kind of that, what's the word? Like the category of dating that I have to be in because I'm a single mom. And really, like, really, I started to kind of accept that for myself. And I'm happy that I challenged like my family, my God. I told him like, you know what, God, like, I'm not deserving of any of that, but I do feel like I want a strong man in my life, like my father. And I think I definitely believe that that's like, I encourage a lot of women that like, be very prayful, be very mindful of the men that like are in your lives and like all those dreams and aspirations you want, despite us being strong, independent, entrepreneur women, we still need a man. Like we still need a man to make a baby. And I was that girl. I was that girl that I said, I just need a man's sperm to have a kid. Oh, and then my life is gonna, and girl, that was probably the worst decision I've made in my life, because it's not fair for my child, right? Because it's like a whole nother person coming in. But doing things alone as a mother is hard. And not that men really help you in anything, they really don't help much, but in the little bit that they do, it makes an impact. Like my business, I was able to open another location because I had my partner involved.
Yeah,
that's important.
And I just wanted, it's so funny that you bring that up, because earlier I was talking to Reyna on the phone about that when I was like, before, because I do have a boyfriend who we've been dating for like 5 months now.
Yeah.
And he is like so different than the guys that I used to date. And kind of like how you said, like you accepted that category, like kind of just like those late nights and just kind of like, oh, you don't have time for me, you're busy, that kind of thing. And like basically like the bare minimum. And you,
yeah,
become like okay with it, and you're just like, oh well, this is what it is. Like I don't like, you kind of feel like you don't deserve more. Mm-hmm. And I was telling her like it was kind of sad when I was thinking about that, because I was like, oh my God, like pobrecita to like the old me who didn't think that I deserve more, because now that I am with my partner, like you said, like it's just so different. And
yeah,
I don't know, like it's crazy when you do start changing your mindset, because I was the same way, like men ain't shit, like blah blah blah.
Yeah, yeah,
you know. And yeah, then I was just like, and it's funny that you said like that even though we are independent, we do still need a man, because that's actually like, that was kind of what made me go back into the dating world, was my friend's dad was like, it's just nice to experience the world with a partner, right? And like, yeah, certain experiences and things like that. But it's so true, like when you're intentional about who you date and like what you accept and all that. So I just think that's beautiful. I wanted to like comment on that, because it related a lot to like what you were
on right now
talking about. Yeah, so that's really awesome though that you found that person like for you and your daughter, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
To support you, especially in your business, because a lot of men sometimes they don't want their women to like have their business, or they, you know, like men are all different, you know, but some men might like not support their woman, but that's so beautiful that
where their ego can like get in the way.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't know, who knows, right? But I think that definitely that's beautiful that I feel like you really have been intentional and you've like manifested and you know what you want. And so it's pretty like God brings it to you, or like,
the universe brings it to you. And I think that's like a big thing, like, and that could, we could, the power of our tongue and manifestation is something that I am a testimony of, right? As women, like in my support group, we're reading a book about like how we could feel insecure in a lot of ways. And I really was in that group and I'm kind of like, I've never felt insecure about anything, right? I'm this kind of mom. This is the kind of mom I'm going to be. And I'm okay with that. And like, this is the kind of business owner I'm going to be. And I'm okay with that. And like, acceptance is big. And I think I've ex- accepted the circumstances that I face every day, and I've accepted like, okay, this is who I am, like it or not. Like I have my flaws, but I feel like I still am grounded. I still feel like my heart's in the right place, right? I still feel like I'm a good person. And I think women like, and I deserve, we're not deserving of anything, right? Because we're human, and who are we to deserve? Like, people are always going to fail us. Men are always failing us. But women, we set the tone for our relationships. We're going to set what kind of standards we want. And I always tell everybody, like, aim high and don't accept like certain like red flags are there for a reason. Dating is there for a reason, like to know who the person's going to be, who they're going to be in your future. Like right now it's easy, right? We're young. We don't have a mortgage. Well, I mean, you know, we don't have these big responsibilities, but I always tell like my friends and people around me that at the end of the day, like the men, we're a representation of the partner that we're going to be with our lives. So I'm excited for you, babe, that you feel that support, you feel that companies. And that's awesome. That's awesome. Like, give it all, like everything you do in your relationships in love. I always say like love above all conquers everything. And despite I'm a force to reckon, or I'm like this strong Latina, or I'm the strong business owner, I always come to a place where I have to evaluate myself and be like, how do I act in love? You know, like, and it changes things. Like it changes people's attitudes towards you. I have people who don't have the best experiences in my restaurants, and I come at them with that love. Like, you know what? I failed. I messed up X, Y, and Z circumstances, but how can I fix my wrongs? How can I be better? And we're not meant to be alone. So I strong, independent entrepreneurs, as you get more successful, you're going to find yourself. There's a lot of memes that say like, gosh, like I find myself doing all the things that I wanted my partner or my future man to do. I feel like I'm checking off those lists for myself. And yeah, you should. Like, you should do that, right? You mm-hmm. should check off your list. You should set your goals. You should follow your dreams before you get in a relationship, because you're going to be you're going to be grounded. You're going to have a foundation. You're going to set tone for what your relationship is going to look like in the future. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've been dating for 6, 7, 8 months now. We've been married for like 3, 4 months. We have not had a day where we sleep in yet. And I worry about him because he came from a whole different, I pulled him out of his business, like a business he was working for, and told him, no, this is what you're going to value yourself as. This is the money you're going to make. This is what you're going to do. So I kind of worry about him sometimes. Yeah, I'm kind of like, man, I'm sure he one day wants to sleep in, right? But he did, like, like with me, his lifestyle is going to be, and that's just what it's going to be, you know?
Yeah.
So it's definitely been an exciting journey. Like, I definitely feel that I feel like the people, again, you're around, your support group is important. And like, definitely the partner, especially now that you girls are going to start thinking about, like, we're now thinking about marriage. We're now thinking about like the people we're going to spend the rest of our lives with. Like, I always tell women, like, don't settle. Like, the millennial men right now are struggling, and they're going to struggle. They're a little bit behind. Don't get discouraged, but you could really influence the person you're going to be with in like a very big way. Mm-hmm. Hi, mama. She's camera shy. Oh.
So what are some tips you would give to someone who wants to open up their location? Like, I know you said the first, like, Covino one, it was like Craigslist. Like, did you like look into any of like the city, you know, policies, or how does that go about?
Okay. Biggest business advice is get a mentor. Put a vision board together. Definitely take an internship. Like, my biggest thing is like, your time is important, and you don't want to invest in something that you think you're not going to love and you're not going to mm-hmm. do. So I always say, even me, where I tell young kids, or I tell them like, hey, if you want to be, whatever you want to be, go sit by a person. Any adult person would love to be a mentor. They would love to say, yeah, sure, you could come shadow me a day. So I would, that's one of my biggest things. I wish I could have talked to business owners before and really tell them like, hey, what's a health department? What's a planning division? What's an architectural person? And because they could have guided me in different ways. They could have said, oh, you know what? This is the person that I deal with, or let me recommend this thing. Everything is through who you know, right? In any industry. So I think definitely finances are everything. I think you can't do anything if you don't have capital in America, in the world anymore. So if I tell people how much money, I don't like to personally ask them. I always tell them like, how much money do you have really? If you don't have $300,000 to $500,000 in my industry, right? To lose or to invest in, don't talk to me. Because I wish somebody would have told me that, right? It took years. I was able to be where I'm at because I didn't spend any money. I didn't make an income. I took 3, 4, 5 years of making no money and living literally like living at zero expenses because I kept putting it into my businesses. I kept putting it into investments, growing residual income, growing all that. Because so I would recommend, especially young women, to follow and find some type of mentor, business plan, get equipped with tools. Schooling is very like a conventional source for people, but I'm not a big believer in schooling. I definitely feel like the school system is definitely flawed. So I don't think like a diploma or a school year ad is going to qualify you for what kind of future you're going to have. I'm definitely not a believer in that. So don't ever limit yourself in any way like that. Just really just prepare yourself and be around the right people.
Yeah. What are some challenges that you faced like during the process of like opening it and like maintaining your businesses, like while, especially since you had like three that you did at the same time?
Challenges have been, gosh, I think managing money is probably you could have a big vision and you can kind of have like the set big standard, but in this economy, like finances have always been something that I never really limited myself to. But like I said, like, make sure you have the right capital to see your vision, your project go through. A lot of these people in my industry, whether it's any business, like you'll see restaurants try to open and then they, like, I just went to a soft opening and they took 2 years to open this restaurant. And I went in, they had a soft opening and I really was kind of like, the place looked beautiful. It looked expensive. And I really felt for those 2 years of people lose. You could lose your home. You could lose your family because you're in crazy debt. So challenges that I think you face yourself are like your limitations, and always live within your means. Have your vision be according to what you can spend and what you can make. I think that's like realistic.
I think that's the biggest thing, is living within your means. Like, yes, you're making money and you're increasing, but then sometimes people will buy that new car, go on, you know what I mean? And you have been very disciplined with staying. That's how you've been able to scale and grow, you know?
Yeah.
So really a long-term game. And what are some leadership tips that you give on managing a team? So this is really important because I think if you don't have your people, right, you don't have like a business in your restaurant. So I'm sure you have a lot of experience with that.
I think my biggest action as a leader, because I'm a big action driven person. I'm not a communicator. I'm not big on like, hey, let's sit down and, you know, write anything up or a manual. I don't have any of that yet. But I think the biggest thing that has supported me and that has been to my advantage as a leader is that I act in accordance to what the job is. I'm the first one to initiate anything that's going to happen or go down in the day. I come in and I ask my team, hey, what can I help you with? And I think that's like my biggest advice, is like coming into anything and asking and saying, hey, what do you need? What can I help you with? What tools do you need to be a better employee, to be a better, to execute your job more efficiently? Mm-hmm. So that puts me at an advantage because a lot of people kind of come in and they're like, whoa, she's going to do this with me. She's going to, like, you know, and that's the kind of worker that I am. I'm hands-on. I do everything. And really lead through action, lead by example, is really important. You know, I hear some crazy stories about, like, leaders and management, like taking, you know, their coworkers to the bar or having a drink with them or having, you know, like management. And then next thing you know, they get into this scandal. And then I've heard so many crazy things that I'm just kind of like, God, like as leaders, like people are constantly looking up to us and they're kind of looking at like what kind of standards we're in the set. So my biggest advice is to just be there and have like a can-do attitude and execute, and just employees and your team, they're only going to do a limited amount of what they're employees. You can't put your business in their hands. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're not us. They're not the owners. They're not the managers. They're there to make, there is very small-minded people. Like us women, we're set apart because I'm going to say we're like that 5% in society. We need 95% of the people who are employee minded people. You know, the 5%, we're talking about the multi-billionaires, the investment groups, the bankers, the 5% of the people who are the major rich group of people. But I ask myself, why is there 95%? There has to be 95% of a working force to create that 5%, which is a big disbalance. Why you get this huge economy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't even want to get into politics, yeah. But there's a huge disimbalance of the 95 with that 5%. And that's why the rich get richer. And us now, we're not even seeing a middle class. Everyone's at a middle class, but then you go to other foreign countries and there's just like that high, that rich class and the poor class. Mm-hmm. Here in our states, we're able to have the flexibility of that. But as business owners and a 5%, people think that that's like a good place to be at, but I always tell people, you don't want to be in my shoes. You don't want to know the money, the responsibilities, the things that I have to sacrifice every day to have the freedom that I have. And the 5%, I mean, look deep into these big groups and men and women and multi-billionaires, and they sacrifice their families. They sacrifice their marriages. They sacrifice a lot of things because they have so much responsibility. So I think being a leader is just kind of coming in and sacrificing and putting your days and say, like, you know what, like, let's execute it. Let's just get the day going and yeah.
Yeah. And what's one way you stay like organized in your life and business to make you accomplish it? Like, what do you do? What do you have, a project management tool, a planner, or it's in your beautiful head?
Oh my gosh. You know, I'm a Virgo, so I tend to be a very organized. I used to be very organized and I used to be very, like, you know, but I can't do any of that as much as I would like to. So I feel, even today I was telling my partner, gosh, babe, like, I really need to get more disciplined because the level of people's work ethic isn't there anymore at all. Like, there's no more working force really in America anymore, right? Like, it's very minimal. Nobody wants to work. You'll see people, we're hiring nobody. Why? Because the pandemic set tone for that. Again, that's another whole political thing that I don't even want to get into, but
girl, I know what you mean. Yeah, like Kim Kardashian said, no one wants to work.
nobody.
No, but yeah, you know, I felt it.
It's that, because that's our world that we're living in today. Let's not get discouraged because it gives us more opportunity to flourish and do well. So I take that as a good thing. I think my organization, my tactic to everyday life is just showing up. It's just showing up to work and come in with a positive. I don't have an agenda. I take my day at a time. And I've had assistance. I'm aware that that's one of my flaws.
What advice do you have when it comes to managing money in your business?
Okay.
And then the second one is, what is the best money advice someone has given you?
Save, 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 save. It's not the money you make, it's the money you save. I live my life by that. It's not what you make, it's what you save. And I'm now finding myself at an older age that if I'm not profiting and if I'm not making money in anything that I do, it's not, I value my time I don't value myself as a $15 minimum wage employee. If something, for example, I used to do that, right? I used to do a lot of things and not charge for my time, mm-hmm. and do a lot of things and go above and beyond and really not value my, mm-hmm. my work and my time anymore. And it's now taking me like a certain age and a place in my life where I have to value that more. So there's mm-hmm. things that I don't do anymore, right? Because they you're don't technically make profit.
Losing money if you you're were losing to do it.
Money. Yeah. Exactly. And a business owner, big 5% business owners will not take anything on they're gonna lose money. So I think my biggest advice is at the beginning of being a business owner, there's a lot of things you have to do, right? There's a lot of free things you have to do to put yourself out there. There's a lot of volunteering, there's a lot of internship time. All of those things are great. Do them, because it's like I tell people who are in my line of work, you're going to go to culinary school and you're going to already go to be in debt. You're going to be $50,000 in debt. You could have just interned at a restaurant for 6 to 8 months and not been in debt and learned the skills and had a job secured. So that's something that I tell people. Your time is money. You don't necessarily, and you'll grow in your life. And then you're going to be like, okay, no, my time now is really money. So it takes patience. It takes time, but don't do things for free. I did it. I've done it. Been down that path. Now there's things like the Indian, right? Like the olden days, like, hey, you do this for me, I'll do this for you. And that's something that I really have flourished in. And don't be scared to ask for help. Don't be scared to knock on doors. You know what? If you don't have it in a financial way, try to source it out in a different way. So don't limit yourself. Find avenues, find A, B, and C. If you can't afford a certain thing, a certain tool that you need, go and hunt it, look for it. Like the universe will bring it to you in amazing ways. I mean, I can't even start, like Baldwin Park location. They sold that restaurant to me for $10,000, which is nothing.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's nothing. And the landlord came to me and he wanted me there. And it was funny because the previous owner of that place couldn't make it. He couldn't even pay his rent. And he wanted $35,000 for it. And I went in and I told him, I'm sorry, but your business isn't worth this. And he generally accepted that. And the restaurant is just with the equipment and everything that's in there, it's easily about $60,000 deep. So, but I came in with my authority and I told him like, no, it's not worth that because you're not a profitable business. So what I tell a lot of business owners and business people is you could have a little food cart, you could have a little hot dog stand and people could come and say, well, this is what I want to do. But guess what? That little food cart or that little hot dog stand is selling $15 to $2,000 a day. Or a hot dog man or a food cart is selling $500 a day.
It's more and profitable than,
you know, that's a business to buy. Okay, sell me your business. And they won't even want to sell you that business because that's their spot. That's their, So it's interesting because you value, I always tell, like, value yourself, value your time, value your business, and continuously grow that so you could level yourself. Amazon, if Amazon was to ever, they have been able to be who they are because they buy out. It's become a monopoly of a business. In-N-Out, they own the land. Ownership, real estate's important. It takes years for these big groups, these big people to make money because they start to take ownership of everything. And that's like my biggest, now that's the next phase in my life is how do I own the piece of land that I'm on? You know, because I put a lot of money in my businesses. I mean, just in the Baldwin Park, yeah, I got it for 10,000, but I've easily put in about 40,000 to 50,000 on top. So, and that's what you want to do. You know, you don't lose at the end of the day. If I wanted to quit, I could go and sell it. I could sell my Covina location. That's what you start talking about being like a net worth. you know, you guys have this podcast. It's small right now. It's Latina centered, but how many Latinas are out in the universe? How many of could benefit and fruit from this podcast? It's something that could be so little right now, but it could be worth something in the future. Your Instagram, your marketing. I admire people that do this and put work into the, what you girls, like what you girls do, because this is the future, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's so powerful that, like how you said, when you manifest things like that, you found people think like maybe, yes, restaurants can be super expensive, but like, wow, like $10,000.
Yeah.
But, like, it's like when you want it, you will find it and there's no excuse. And that's like the power of that. And I'm really big on, and I like that we're like talking about money, because I love talking about money. And even though my journey hasn't been perfect with money, but I've learned, and it's very, very important, especially when it comes to business. I'm like, we got to look at the numbers. Like, yeah. I get it. You have a passion. You want to help people. But if you want a business, you need to be profitable and you need to be comfortable charging and you need to be comfortable raising your prices, knowing your worth. So you are like perfect. And Ashley and I, we like always brainstorm and like mastermind on it. And just with her too, like her treats and stuff. I'm like, you know, both of us just knowing our worth and pushing ourselves, you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah. And women have to invest. Girl, we go and get our nails done and we spend $90 to $100 every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Women get their hair done. We invest in it's frustrating, yes. But we invest in very things that are just very minute. But why don't we invest in like, you know, business management, any of those life coaches, all of that stuff, mm-hmm. like what you're doing values, like is going to set tone, and you're going to change a lot of, you're going to see women change their paths and their directions because you value your time, you yeah. know, and don't do things. There was a point where, but, and you know what, si no les cuesta, si no nos cuesta a nosotras, we're not going to take advantage of it. That's just how mm-hmm. human nature is. Well, it was for free. Well, you know, when you hear like, oh, here's a free seminar. Nobody wants to go to a free seminar. But, oh my God, this seminar, it's like $50. It's $110. It's life skills. And next thing you know, all these kind of life coaches, they're making their money. But it's because they value that. So when you do things for free, it's not as profitable. Mm-hmm. So I encourage all women, like, even in the dating world, girl, my time is money. I would always tell, like, you know what? This is cutting short. I got to go. I'm not making money. I'm wasting my time here. Yeah. Run. Go. You know?
Yeah. Your time. Yeah.
Who you're with, your relationships, I always say this, treat them as investments because your time is money. Mm-hmm. So that's my biggest advice.
And where do you see yourself in 5 to 10 years? I know that's like a big time frame, but.
I see myself in 5, 10 years, I'll be like 35. I see myself with probably 2 more businesses, 2 more restaurants. I see myself married, having another child. I see myself working less, working smarter, not harder. I see myself growing a bigger community, giving back more. I want to give back to my friends, my family, my community. Be more of service out there and have a little bit more of time and windows to do something more impactful for the world, not just always working, right? And always, mm-hmm. you know, hustling. I work very hard to have like the security, to have the freedom to financially live within my means, but have the freedom to do good. So I really want more freedom to do more, help in my church, help with my family's like church and just give back, really.
Mm-hmm. That's really awesome. You have such a generous heart, and I think that's why it's allowed you to continue to be like successful, because you're not coming from like a greedy place. You come from a place of like gratitude and wanting absolutely. To help, and so I think the world needs people like that, you know, and
abundant mindset, right?
And I think that's what draws people to you, because that's very rare, especially nowadays, you know.
Yeah.
And so I think it's beautiful that even through all this stuff that you've maintained with that attitude, you know, it's very powerful.
Girl. It grows more. It really does. I think I read, or I heard, I don't know what I read, but how do we measure success and how do we measure that, right? And I was listening and they were saying, like, having an abundance and being rich, when you're at that place, being rich is being able to give. Like, that's the definition mm-hmm. of having so much that you can now give because you have an abundance of. So you don't have to necessarily be financially rich, or, you know, you get like these doctors who all they want to do is just go and work and they apply to go do those. What are those things that they go and they work like, and they do like internships for free? But yeah, being successful is having so much that you can really give back. And I think that's like where I'm at. But honestly, like, I really just give all the credit and like the glory to God. I really feel like God has really manifested all of like my vision and everything that I wanted to do in life. And like he says, like, seek and you will receive. And honestly, that's like my biggest encouragement. Like, we're here through grace, and God's grace is so much, like, it's so abundant in our lives. And God is like, once you put your life and your hands in God's hands and you really allow him to lead you and guide you in your path, the world is hard, but God is really like the only standing force that's on our side. And I think that's my biggest driving force, is like to use my craft, my skill, my abilities to glorify him and show, like, again, like the love that he has and the gracefulness that he has in my life with other people.
Amen.
Yes. Yeah. I hope hopefully you guys come in soon. Let me know when you guys are going to come by so we can sit down. I'd love to, like,
yes,
you know, get, you know, sit down more and have some time, and we can kind of go from there. And I mean, and, you know, and just let me know what's going out there. You girls have to keep me like in touch of what's going out there in the world, because I'm so close to my own environment that I do want to open myself more to like a community, you know?
Yeah. We just hosted a like hike meetup. And just kind of want to get, like, we talked our goals and everything, but I was like, let's also get like experience. I think as entrepreneurs, we're always like working and,
yeah,
you know, and everything, but I think just the community, I think that's like what we want to build. And there was a lot of women from young girls from like Baldwin Park, mm-hmm. Covina. So it was really awesome.
Actually, that was the day that we went to go eat. Remember? There was,
oh, yay.
We were hungry after, and I was like, let's go to Sage. It's really good. And I was happy that we got to catch you, because we wanted to like have this interview with you, and also just so you can get your business out there and like
all these people. I love that.
Food, because I feel like you put your heart into everything, you know, so you have
two locations.
So let them know, let our listeners know where they can find your locations. And then if you have like Instagram or
where can they
follow? Of course. Yeah, definitely look us up. My Instagram, my social media is called Sage Social Eatery. I have two locations in Covina and Baldwin Park. You could always Yelp us. And we're brunch hours. So we open from 8 to 2, 3 o'clock. And just like ask for me. I'm mostly at the Baldwin Park location. But if you guys ask for me, let them know about the interview. I'm sure they'll hook you guys up with something. So I'll make sure to put that out.
Yay. Awesome. Well, thank you so much,
Abby.
You're welcome, girls. Thank you so much for your time. I really enjoyed it.
So that was the episode with Abigail Rodriguez. Thank you so much for listening to the entire episode. We know for sure you learned a lot. Definitely go check out her restaurants if you're local to the area. And also just want a friendly reminder to leave a podcast review.
To share this with anybody that you feel would love this or relate to this or is in this area. And also leave us a review about what you think about the episodes that we've been putting out. And go listen to the other episodes that we have out as well. We have amazing guests on, and we just talk about really great subjects with everybody. And there's a variety of things you can choose from. So make sure to share, review, follow our podcast so you guys can get our new episodes every Monday. And we hope you guys enjoyed this episode.
Thank you. Bye.